For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Monday before March Madness starts, Wes. The Juice and the Cues podcast is back with you once again. Wes Chang and Matt D'Agostino to talk you through this one once again. And Wes, like myself at a middle school dance, Syracuse turned down, allegedly, the NIT invitation. Obviously, we knew Syracuse was not going to be in the field of 68, but we thought there was a good chance that Syracuse would get an invite to the NIT, and supposedly they did, but did not accept it. Kind of explain your thoughts on that and how all of that goes down.
Yeah, so Matt, even prior to the news coming out, generally, a source telling our editor-in-chief here at the Juice Online, Brad Bierman, that Syracuse was, in fact, invited to the NIT, but declined simply because they didn't have enough players. And that was later confirmed in a statement from the SU Athletics Department to Syracuse.com. And Matt, this is the era we live in the transfer portal. You know, you kind of saw that play out today, and I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but you saw some key players from the Syracuse rotation entering the portal, and you can't go into a tournament with really only seven rotational scholarship players. So certainly a disappointing way to end the season. I think I'm going to get on a soapbox here, which is the timing of the transfer portal really takes away from these postseason tournaments like it does in the football bowl season with all these opt-outs. I think it would be nice if you move the timeline for the transfer portal to help facilitate these players wanting to stay past these tournaments and likewise for bowl games. But that's where we're at now, Matt. I think, you know, the case of Syracuse, which was mostly led by sophomores who have never played in the NIT, I think playing in that would certainly help with game experience and playing in the postseason. So I think it's a lost opportunity for the whole team. And again, I think they need to move the timing of the transfer portal really to the end of the tournaments in April before you can start having players jump in.
Now, we don't have enough guys to play explanation. At work, I'm listening to press conferences today of the teams playing in the first four on Tuesday. And one of them, I don't remember whether it was Howard or perhaps Colorado State, one of those teams has seven guys on their roster. May have even been Wagner that I'm thinking of, where the coach literally said, we had a player get hurt in practice, so we can't practice anymore. We just have to get ready for a game. So if they're willing to do it with seven healthy guys, why couldn't Syracuse, with Adrian Autry saying just last week that any opportunity we get to play more games, especially with a younger group like Syracuse has, why wouldn't the school, the team, try and take advantage of something like that in your eyes?
So, Matt, we know of already two players that have entered the portal. And again, I know we're going to get to that in a little bit, but we haven't heard all the players that are going to enter the portal, right? It hasn't been made official yet for some of these guys that we've heard various rumors about. So yeah, you get down to seven scholarship players, you may be able to kind of field a team to get through, but what if there are only six scholarship players? What if there are only five available? And you saw that with North Carolina last year with seven guys, seven scholarship players, entering the portal, including really key players that went on to have great careers after their UNC time. So I really think that, yes, you can make the argument that they may be able to play, but again, they may have a combination of four or five scholarship players and then walk-ons. And again, I don't really think that's what you want to see.
So as it stands, Syracuse, its season is over as of today. And you've touched on guys that are reportedly entering the transfer portal. We've seen Quadir Copeland. We've seen Justin Taylor. Those are the ones that are reportedly already entering the portal. And we've talked about who some of those other guys might be. Taylor seems pretty self-explanatory to me, at least. A guy who just didn't seem to get the role that he wanted. And, you know, certainly at plenty of times didn't warrant getting a role that he may have wanted with his performance, especially during the middle portion of Syracuse's schedule. But Quadir Copeland seems a little odd to me. To me, yes, he was a sixth man this season, but he played like a starter. He got starter minutes for sure. And I guess wants a larger role, but part of this whole transfer portal thing and part of the whole thing I don't like with guys leaving early where, you know, you could tell they need another year of seasoning, but they want to go professional maybe a year earlier than they should. Guys maybe overestimate what their role can be. So as I see, Quadir Copeland was a great glue guy for this Syracuse team this year. But what is going through his mind, do you think, saying, you know, I feel like I can be doing more somewhere else?
Yeah, so we can definitely start with Quadir Copeland. I do agree he was a bit more surprising, even though there was a lot of, you know, sources that told the Juice Online that he had stopped attending class for the last couple of weeks, which was a short tip off that he was going to enter the portal. But he really, and as you said, he played starter minutes, was in the running for ACC Sixth Man of the Year. But I think if you look at the roster construction and what Adrian Autry wants to do with this lineup, he was never going to start and he wants that opportunity elsewhere. And I can't say I blame him. You know, Adrian Autry wants a specific style of guard. I don't think Quadir Copeland plays that kind of style where you can start him for 30 to 35 minutes at point guard like he did with Judah Mintz. So I think they're looking for something a little bit different. He didn't want to play wing. He wanted to start and he wanted to start at point guard. That's what he played at IMG Academy in Florida coming into Syracuse. And that's what he was recruited as by Jim Boeheim. And he wasn't going to get a chance to do that. Now, again, you said it yourself. I don't think anyone's surprised by the Justin Taylor news. And just, you know, some of these stats, 35% from the field, 30% from downtown, only averaged 5 points, 4 rebounds in 23 minutes a game. And I think Taylor can be a great fit somewhere that actually plays to his talents as someone that can come off screens and shoot and play as a guard. And that's not how Syracuse used him. They were basically using him, you know, as a power forward. They didn't run plays for him that really opened him up for three-pointers. You know, I think his style of play really matches more of what Joe Girard was as a two-guard at Clemson or in his final season at Syracuse in his fourth year. That's really, I think, how I envision Justin Taylor being used off flex screens, off pin downs, and they didn't use that for him this year. And you know what? You're right. Maybe he didn't deserve it. 30% shooting from downtown is not going to get it done.
I want to go back to Copeland for a minute because if I'm looking for what he wants to do and what Coach Autry thinks he can do, I look at it, I could have seen him being a starting point guard for this team next year. He's a long guy. He plays great defense on the ball. He is a guy who can do a little bit of everything. He can distribute. He can score. He's not a knockdown shooter, a guy who's going to dominate the ball. I think he could get guys involved while still finding a way to get his own slashing to the basket and things of that nature. And defensively, I think he brings everything that Syracuse is looking for from their man-to-man schemes this season. Why should I believe that Copeland could not be that for Syracuse next season?
Part of it, I think, is the turnovers. I think when you look at what he did as in his minutes at guard, you know, I think he gets a little bit too flashy, maybe tries to do a little bit too much with the ball. Part of it is I just don't know if they see him as a primary guard. I mean, you didn't really see him handle the ball even as a backup point guard this season. That was more of Kyle Cuff Jr.'s job. And if he's not being put there even in backup minutes, you wonder what the coaching staff saw. And, you know, there are exit interviews that they have with the players when people start to opt out and they realize they're not going to a postseason tournament. So maybe there was something in that meeting where he asked for something and then the conversation didn't go the way that he wanted. you know, I know that Jim Boeheim in his exit interviews didn't pull any punches, was very honest. Maybe Adrian Autry is the same way and said, you know, we see you as someone who kind of continues the role that you're playing right now, which is a Swiss Army knife. And maybe he didn't like the answer that he got.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that probably will never get answers for, especially when you're protecting college athletes and all of that sort of thing. They keep things close to the vest oftentimes. But so if we're looking at it this way, Copeland and Taylor gone, Judah Mintz likely gone either to the draft or to another school, and your backup big men, Peter Carey and Hema, both looking like they may be entering the portal as well. Tell me this. Right now, it's looking like if everything else stays the same, you're looking at a starting five most likely next season of J.J. Starling as a point guard, something he did at Notre Dame, but to me, he seems much more like a two guard. You're looking at Elijah Moore. You're looking at Chris Bell, Malik Brown, and Donnie Freeman as a starting five. Do we believe, knowing that we will probably see Syracuse pick up a few guys in the transfer portal as well, do we believe on that starting five, that unit of five guys, however it shakes out, as a core for next year's Syracuse team?
The answer, I think, is no, and you have a golden opportunity. That is why the transfer portal exists, Matt, and you already start to see that Syracuse is reaching out to some of these guys from mid-majors who had outstanding careers and are ready to take that leap to the Power Five level. And I think, you know, it really depends on who else leaves. So you pointed out Judah Mintz. I think, in fact, if he is out at Syracuse, you have to go into the portal and find a steady pass-first point guard who can take advantage of having an athletic guard like J.J. Starling. And hopefully, if Chris Bell comes back, a shooter like Chris Bell alongside him. So I think that would be priority number one for Red Autry. You know, the other thing I think Syracuse really missed this season was a center who could protect the rim. I know, you know, Malik Brown was more of a break the glass in case of emergency kind of center. Naheem McLeod kind of gives you that somewhat with his height, but he really didn't show you that much offensively. And it would be nice to see Syracuse find a center that could replicate more of the production of Jesse Edwards on both sides of the floor. And if they want to keep Malik Brown at center and Donnie Freeman as the power forward, you know, ready to start it right away at the four, you know, that could work out as well. And, you know, I think the third thing that Syracuse is really going to need is another consistent shooter like Chris Bell. And I know that Syracuse has Elijah Moore coming in, and if he's college ready, that's less of a need. On the other hand, you know, again, I think you got to see how the roster plays out, but I think those are the three things you need. You need a big man who can score on both ends, you know, point guard who's going to be pass first, who can take advantage of the weapons around you. And I think you need a reliable shooter. Again, I don't know if freshmen can come in and really play that role right away. So if I'm Red Autry, I'm also looking for a shooter in the portal. And it looks like he's done that so far.
Yeah. Where do you fall in terms of the transfer portal? In terms of teams, and this is not just happening at Syracuse, this is happening across the country. And if it doesn't happen now, it'll happen in a few weeks once teams start getting eliminated from the tournament in the next couple of weeks. But how do you balance, how do you view the uprooting of teams year after year? This is now a yearly occurrence for teams. This is not something that, oh, we've got a large graduating class, we're going to have to replace four guys. It's, oh, we've got to replace four to five guys almost every season now. Where do you balance the upheaval that causes for every school in the country, it seems like, versus the excitement of what feels like an NBA or NFL free agency period where it's just a frenzy of transactions, and just as quickly as your team loses two or three guys, your team is bringing in a couple of guys that they hope will replace the production that left?
I think that's what it is, Matt. Call a spade a spade. It's a professional basketball league at this point with contracts, which are NIL, and free agency, which is what these rosters are. I think every time the portal opens, you're going to see this influx, and I think that's the new normal. So you can either embrace it or shake your stick at a cloud like an old man, but I think the reality is this is how college basketball is going to be, and it is going to be this free agency where you're turning over at least a third of your roster. And that's kind of how it was in the back in the day with graduations, and then you'd have freshmen coming in. So you have a class of seniors, like three or four that were leaving, and then, you know, freshmen filling in from the back end. But that's just not how college basketball is going to be anymore. I think you have freshmen coming in. You're not going to have any seniors going out. You're just going to have people transferring. And then you're going to have, you know, kind of this free agency in the middle of sophomores and juniors that come in.
It's the lost art of a senior scholarship athlete in college athletics these days. It's practically an extinct thing, certainly endangered at this point. My one biggest gripe, I guess, is when you look at all of the professional sports leagues, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, these teams, when they're drafting players, have control over them for at least a 3-4 year period, depending on how the leagues write their laws. It just seems unfair to the universities. And I know we're completely in an age of player empowerment at all levels of sports these days, but it just seems unfair that a team invests schemes, game plans to have a certain roster, and then every year is left with no control over being like, you guys are just packing up and leaving. Like, this is, you've literally spent 6 months on campus and you're going to go find somewhere else. There feels like eventually the rebound effect to all of these NIL rules that are coming in place now will eventually
the multi-year be contract
to give the universities some sort of commitment to where guys just can't leave on a whim because, you know, they feel like they can get something else somewhere that they're not getting where they are. So it feels very powerless for the universities. And I get that for so long, it's been the other way around and the players have felt powerless. At some point, I think there needs to be a balancing act of sorts. You agree with the same thing?
Yeah, I would actually like to see if they're going to call it a professional league with players getting paid, let's institute a salary cap. Let's institute multi-year contracts. I think that would get the more continuity. And I think if you're going to have that at the professional level, at the highest professional level, why not have it at the next highest professional level, which is college, which is what it's turning into anyway. So why not have, I think the salary cap would have a little bit more parity. Maybe you can give more salary cap to the Power Five schools the Power Six schools, if they really want to hold on to that. But again, it's a professional league. Why not follow some of the other rules of the professional leagues? And I think for the fan base, it also, again, provides that continuity that's missing right now.
Likewise, I'm going to the bosses at the Juice and the Q's podcast and demanding that at all times, I must make a higher salary by $1 more than you at all times. And if so, if that doesn't happen, I'm walking. I don't know if the Believe Network or Rivals need somebody at the Duke podcast. I'm not sure. Maybe Carolina. I'm in the backyard of Georgia Tech. Maybe they need some help out on the podcast. If my demands aren't met, I'm entering the podcast transfer portal, and I'll see you later. So it's a frustrating day for Syracuse basketball. No doubt in a couple of weeks, this gets replaced by good news of, hey, Syracuse has brought in this guy. Syracuse has brought in that guy. There's already rumors that there's a Mount St. Mary's guard that averages almost 18 points a game as a grad transfer that could be interested in, or Syracuse could be interested in him as he enters the transfer portal. So it will bounce back in Syracuse's favor, but a frustrating day in Syracuse sports as one, the season's over, no more basketball of any postseason variety. And now we've got to hear about the players that they're losing before we hear about the players that will be joining. So to put a positive spin on things, Wes, we're going to talk about something that puts a smile on my face. And that, my friend, is betting. I love betting. I don't care whether it's with my friends, betting with them on anything. Sports games, who's faster. And that's what the app Kutt allows me to do. K-U-T-T, the Kutt app, is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. It has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments are accepted. No need for Venmo. So I wouldn't have bet on it this early, Wes, but Kadir Copeland, Justin Taylor look like they're moving on, and you can take that one to the bank, it seems. But if you want to use the Kutt app, use our promo code. Believe Cuse, that's B-L-E-A-V-C-U-S-E, Believe Network, and Syracuse, Believe Cuse. Use that promo code for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Again, that's Believe Cuse and the Kutt app. Kutt, put your money where your mouth is. Wes, we're going to look towards more cheerful things, that being the Syracuse football program. Wes had a chance to catch up with former Syracuse wide receiver and CBA standout Bruce Williams talking about another CBA guy who may be making his way to the SU Hill. That'll be on the other side here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast on the Believe Network.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. And while the basketball season wrapped up over the weekend, there's plenty of news from the Syracuse football world. The Orange landed three commitments in the last week. Grambling State offensive lineman Cody Hornsby announcing his transfer to Syracuse. And then the Orange landed two 2025 prospects in Javon Lawrence and Darian Williams. In the case of Williams, he's a local product having starred at CBA for the past three seasons. We welcome on friend of the show, Syracuse legend and CBA coach Bruce Williams, to talk about that commitment. Coach, appreciate the time. How are you today?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Coach, always doing great when you're on the program. First off, congratulations to you and Darian on the commitment. And for those people who haven't heard of Darian before he committed, talk about the type of player he is. And I know he had 236 yards and three touchdowns in the New York State championship game. And it was a pretty fast process from Syracuse getting him re-offered or offered earlier in March, and then his commitment less than 2 weeks later. Walk through that process as well.
Yeah, well, it goes back to the Darian's commitment to just wanting to get better at everything he does, from school to being a better son for his parents to being a better friend. That's the type of talent that kids have on and off the field, right? He wants to be great. And for me, being able to have that experience of going through it with him, seeing him develop, similar to Sire Torrance and a lot of our other kids in the program, their commitment to it. So for Darian, we knew going into last year what he was capable of from the previous season, but it was just a matter of figuring out his skill set and how it best fits. And one of the biggest things I can say about Darian is, even though he's not as physically built like Sire, he always gave 100% to what he did. So for that, I think it just showed in that title game with us that we were able to take advantage of the main skill set that people saw, was his speed. You know, we got him matched up in different areas that it showcased he can go vertical, he can catch a short pass and go deep, things of that nature. And that's a credit to our whole coaching staff for planning that championship game. So for moving fast forward it to now and his commitment to Syracuse, I'm extremely happy for him. I'm happy for him for the situation of he made the decision which was best for him. It's different than every other kid, right? Each kid's recruiting process will be different. And for him, he felt it was the best decision. Now, I'm going to make sure the statement is said. He never was offered by the previous staff. He showed interest, but they never offered him in that instance. Whereas this staff and Fran Brown, over the last 2 weeks, made a good push for Darian, which he felt confident and comfortable with making that decision to Syracuse.
Coach, another one of the guys we've spoken about is Matthew Hahn, a 2025 offensive lineman. The new Syracuse staff offered him in January, and I know there's a lot of schools interested in him as well. So what's the latest with his recruitment?
Yep. So again, like Darian, each one of these guys' recruiting process is going to be completely different. Matt Hahn, he's a great kid. He works hard. He does everything, again, like Darian, at 100%. That's kind of the culture these kids have created within the team. The school has created within the whole school atmosphere for all of our kids at the school. So for Matt Hahn, in instance, he's looking to make the best choice for himself. You know, he's gotten some Ivy schools recruiting him. He's gotten Power 5 schools, smaller schools. I think for Matt, it's just really figuring out what fits him best. And for him is, you know, he's going to look at it from an academic side. All of our guys understand that, yes, it's good to get to a university that loves you. And that's what Matt and Darian and the rest of these guys are going to go through, is trying to find a school that's going to love them, take care of them. So for Matt, he's still open to everything. He's still looking out there. He's visiting all schools. I mean, doesn't matter if it's Buffalo to Syracuse to Army, he's going to visit all of them because he understands that each school is going to present something valuable to him and may connect with him in different ways other schools can't. So for Matt, he's doing extremely well in the process of communicating with these college coaches, alerting us as his high school coaches of what's going on, who's contacting him, and kind of where his mindset is. So I do know Coach Fran Brown and that staff up on the Hill is recruiting Matt Me personally, I don't have haven't built the relationships with Coach Brown and the staff yet, but I know he's been busy. He's now getting ready to go into spring ball, so I know I'll eventually be able to develop a relationship for myself with Coach Brown and the staff once he's able to, you know, create some time and get his ducks in a row with his program and his recruiting. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Coach, as I mentioned earlier, you're defending a state title this upcoming season. We were talking pre-show about this, but there's a pretty big group of guys returning for the upcoming 2024 season. So who are the other high major prospects we should be keeping an eye out for on the CBA roster?
It's amazing because you and I talked a little bit off, and I remember last year and probably the year before I mentioned to you, like, hey, we got some really good talent coming up through the pipeline. And it's because these kids work hard. These kids literally look at the guys like Sire and understand how hard you have to work. So for me, there's a couple of kids that is right on our radar that I think will have a good chance. Isaiah Coleman is a running back who kind of split time last year. We had three running backs. Quentin Lewis is another running back, again, of our three-headed running backs from last year. We have two returning that I think are going to be stellar athletes at the next level. Adrian Weathers was a sophomore who played corner for us. He's going to do some offensive stuff. He's a very talented kid. He also played baseball, so he's got a knack for playing a ball in the air. And then when it comes to, I have another receiver who flashed a little bit in the state title game, Kylan Hicks. He's a long, really lean, quick, fast and guy who could jump. And then we have a couple of big guys up front. Khalil Cox, obviously, he's the kid that all the coaches see when they walk through the door because of his size, but he's such a great kid. You know, I always tell people about Khalil. What makes Khalil special is he also does robotics. He plays the tuba in a band. He does so many other things within the program at the school that makes him excellent. And when you see him on the field, you then can connect. All right, we see what he's capable of doing. And then I got a couple of ninth graders, Juels and Carter, who are ninth graders who really played a role in our title run late in the season, that are only ninth graders that are going to have a good future and as long as they continue to develop.
Coach, thank you so much for coming back on the program. Again, Syracuse legend and CBA coach Bruce Williams. We appreciate the time. Looking forward to catching up with you soon. Thanks again, Coach.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bruce Williams, ladies and gentlemen. So far, Syracuse has three commitments in the 2025 class. It's still very early, but Syracuse with those commits is currently 47th in the country, according to Rival. So a really nice start to the class before the spring practice recruits even step on campus. We will take a quick break. We will wrap up the show with some of our closing thoughts after. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast on the Believe in Rivals Networks, and I'm Wes Chang.
Welcome back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to the Juice and the Cuse podcast. Matt and Wes with you, carrying you home here on a Monday night before March Madness starts tomorrow, even with the first four and then the second round, the first round once again, as it should be noted, starting on Thursday with the rest of the madness. But I want to break it back to the 1996 Big East. This is kind of the apex of the Big East, kind of. There was obviously a big surge in the 80s, the 90s really staying strong, carried into the 2000s for sure. But if you look at the 1996 Big East teams, Wes, we're talking Boston College, Georgetown, Miami, Notre Dame, Pitt, Providence, Rutgers, Seton Hall, St. John's, our beloved Syracuse, Villanova, West Virginia. Well, they all have one thing in common as we bring it back to March the 18th, 2024. And that's that none of them made the field of 68 and make it to March Madness. That is a depressing thought to think about. Of course, Syracuse does not make it. St. John's, one of the biggest snubs by all the prognosticators, not getting in there. Mr. Patino, none too pleased about that. But you look at all of the teams there that have such a rich tradition in March. Villanova, a couple of championships within the last decade. You look at all these other teams. Pitt, Miami has had a lot of recent success. Georgetown, Final Fours, you think of. And none of these teams and none of their prominent coaches will be making their way to March Madness. That is a fairly depressing thing to think about when you look at all the teams from the Big East in 1996. The only one that makes the tournament is UConn, the defending champs and the odds-on favorite to win again this season.
Matt, that was a golden age of basketball, and it is really sad to see that all these teams didn't make it. And for some of these teams, like Georgetown, I'm just going to talk about Georgetown for a second because they have really fallen so hard and so far. And I'm a Patrick Ewing fan. You know that I'm a Knicks fan from those 90s teams.
I try not to hold against you.
Well, you know what? He torpedoed that Georgetown team. And the Syracuse-Georgetown rivalry, even though they're not in the same conference anymore, that was the rivalry that kind of spurred that whole conference. And to see Syracuse, you know, a mediocre, not make the tournament, that's one thing. But to see a proud program like Georgetown not doing well and completely missing out, not just on the tournament, but even just viability on you know, they have maybe, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people go to some of those games. It's really sad to see what's happened to that program.
Well, and I'll say this, as much as we may not like to admit it, Syracuse not being in any postseason basketball now three straight years, I don't know if it's quite getting to that point yet, but if they're not careful, Syracuse could be out of its way of prominence and notoriety. I mean, at this point, it's much more of a name recognition thing than a performance thing. Even when Syracuse has been in the tournament recently, we're talking double-digit seeds, and yes, they get to a Final Four, but it really has not played out to where Syracuse is a program of prominence over the last few years. And I don't want to jump ahead too quickly, but we may be kind of approaching that territory if Syracuse doesn't start to turn it around here in the next couple of years.
Matt, on a less depressing note,
thanks.
Because I know a lot of people are disappointed about the men's team missing the postseason, you know, for a third consecutive year. That doesn't mean that a Syracuse basketball team won't be dancing. You know, the women's team is a sixth seed in the 2024 NCAA Women's Tournament after finishing the regular season 23-7, pretty good. They're going to play the 11th seed, which is the winner of Auburn, Arizona. That's going to be aired on ESPN2, the Deuce, as they play at Stores, Connecticut on Saturday, March 23rd at 3:30 p.m. Matt, I know that we're not talking about the men's tournament, but I think the women's tournament, and I mentioned this to you several times before, it's actually more exciting. Name the most prominent NCAA men's player, and then name the most prominent NCAA women's player. I know it's Caitlin Clark for the women's side. What's the men's side? What's the draw on the men's side? I don't know. I think there's a lot more electricity, a lot more je ne sais quoi around the women's tournament now.
Watch your language. I know we're a podcast, but there's still some sort of regulation that should be had, Wes. What did the Syracuse women's team do so badly that they're forced to go to Stores to play their first game? Why are they making them do that? The committee has it out for Syracuse women's basketball, and I don't take too kindly to it. But enough about that. Yes, let's root on the women's team. At this point, it's all we have left to watch in terms of Syracuse basketball. You know, I'd like to think we would have made the Field of 68 podcasts, Wes. I don't know where we get seated for that, but I'm sure we have an easy route to the Final Four. And like I said, if I don't get paid a dollar more than you at all times, I'm jumping ship. I'm entering the transfer portal, and I'll go to a contending podcast team of my own. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Anyway, get that NIL money ready. Get that NIL money ready.
I'm not witty enough to come up with something that NIL would stand for in this situation. So I'll just leave it at this. The Juice and the Cues podcast is done for March 18th. For Wes, I'm Matt. Thanks for tuning in on Rivals and on the Believe Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.